Shavuot Tov. We're going to start back up again from Perek Beis and Megillah and Chanukah. I apologize. Last time I was in a place where there was a terrible connection. We'd only done one halacha anyway, so we'll just start from the beginning of Perek Beis. And basically in Perek Beis, the Rambam's going to deal with the halacha specific to the writing of the Megillah as well as reading it, along with the various halachas of Purim. So we should be able to get through the Perek today. So halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, HaKores Megillah L'mafreya Lo Yatza. So if I read the Megillah out of order, I have not fulfilled my obligation. Kar v'shachach pasuk echad v'kar pasuk sheni, b'sheni lo, v'chazer v'kar pasuk sheshachach, v'chazer v'kar pasuk shlishli. So again, what the person do, let's say it's psukim 1, 2, and 3. He forgets pasuk 1, reads pasuk 2, right? Then goes back to read pasuk 1, and then picks up from pasuk 3. Lo yatzai, meshakar pasuk echad l'mafreya. Because he read one of the verses out of order, he hasn't fulfilled his obligation. What should he do instead? So again, the Rambam's emphasizing right off the bat that and this has to do with the fact that the Megillah is a story, the order of the story is critical to fulfill your obligation of Kriyas Megillah. Now along those lines, Halacha Beis, Matzah Sibor Shekaru Chetzia, let's say you went to a Sibor that had already read half of the Megillah, Lo yomar ekra chetzya achron imat zibor of achzor of ekra chetzya rishon shezek kor lemafreya. So I can't say, listen, I heard the last half of the Megillah. I'll go home, read the first half. That's also reading it out of order. Elakor mitchilav atzof al seder. You have to read it from the beginning to end in order. Kara v'shah me'at v'chazor v'kara af v'shah kedei ligmar skula hol v'kara al seder yatzah. So here, let's say a person read a little bit and then waited. It doesn't matter how long he waited for, theoretically. Ultimately, since he read it in the right order, it's fine. So even though he had a big break between, let's say, his various psukim, it doesn't mean he didn't read it in order. It's only if you go out of order that there's a psul. Halacha gimel, hakores ha-megillah al peh lo yatzadei chavasa. Okay, so you can't read the Megillah by heart. You have to be reading it from a cloth, which we'll see more of in a second. Haloei sheshamas ha-megillah haksub lashon ha-kodesh. So let's say I speak English only. And I hear the Megillah written, I hear from a Megillah that was written in Lashon HaKodesh, Uksav HaKodesh, okay? So not only was it leaned in Hebrew, but it was written in Hebrew. So even though I don't understand what was actually read, I still fulfill my obligation. Now you may ask yourself, there's no Chiddush at this point, because this only happens by Kriyas HaTorah. So again, let's say I only understand, whatever, Spanish, and someone leans Megillah from a Hebrew, a Megillah written in the Ksav Ashuris, and they're leaning it in Hebrew, I would be Yotze. Okay. V'cheinim haisak ksuva Yevanis. Let's say the Megillah was written in Greek. You're going to see there's something very unique about Megillah. If the Megillah was written in Greek, v'shama, yatsa api shena makir, v'afil ha'yoshame ivri. So Greek was the other language that if it was written in Greek and I heard it leaned in Greek, but let's say I speak Hebrew, I also fulfill my obligation. And ostensibly the reason why at the time that halacha was written was because Greek was the normal language spoken, meaning, for instance, Greek was the equivalent to what English is today. You have certain languages that are unique to certain nations, and then the default or the second language is English. Now, halacha dalad is the furthest, it pushes this idea to the extreme. So let's say the Megillah was written in Spanish, okay? You do not fulfill your obligation. So if I wrote a Megillah in Spanish, okay, and I leaned it in Spanish to a Spanish-speaking audience, then they would fulfill their obligation. It has to be written in the same language that's being spoken. But let's say the Megillah was written in Hebrew and someone read it in Aramaic, right, to a person who only spoke Aramaic, so then they wouldn't fulfill their obligation because you're reading it by heart. You're not reading it, so to speak, off the cloth. So just like the person reading it can't fulfill the obligation, so too the person hearing it cannot fulfill the obligation either. Halacha hey. Okay. Hakores haMegillah below kavana lo yatza. Now, if you read the Megillah without the proper intention or intention per se, you don't fulfill your obligations. So what does that mean? Ketza. Hayakosva or dorsha magia. So let's say, for example, you're writing a Megillah or you're explaining to someone else about the Megillah or you're checking the Megillah for errors. In kivin libo lotzeis bekriya zu yatza. So if my intention, let's say when I'm proofreading the Megillah, is to fulfill my obligation, then I'm yotze. Then lo kiven libo yotze. But if I didn't have that in mind, I'm not yotze. Okay. Kara vehu misnamnim ho v'lo nirda mishina yotze. If he went ahead and was reading, and then he ended up taking a nap, since he didn't fall into a deep sleep, he still will be yotze his what it called his obligation. Okay. Halacha vav b'med dvar vorim shemechavin libo b'ksiva. Yotza b'shineskaven lotzeis b'kriya shekor b'sefer shematik b'menu b'shashu kose. So when can a person fulfill his chi of Megillah when he's reading, right? Reading a Megillah when he's, his chi of kriya when he's writing a Megillah? So it's only when his kavana is to fulfill the obligation by reading it from the Megillah he's copying from. So let's say he has a Megillah in front of him that he's reading off of and writing into the new Megillah. But he can't have intention to from the Megillah he's writing currently because the Megillah is not complete. The Sefer has to be complete in order for him to fulfill his obligation. Okay. Halacha Zayim. Hakoras a Megillah v'ta b'kriyasa v'kara kriya mishubeshes yatsa. That's always an interesting halacha. We certainly live in an age where people are quick to the trigger to correct the Baal Koreh. And as a Baal Koreh, I am someone who's been on the receiving end of this. So the halacha is that if someone made a mistake in Megillah, okay, you don't, you're still Yotze, right? We don't say it's a problem. So while the Seder is critical, you have to go in order, we're not midactic, we're not so as concerned about the reading being as precise, meaning the essence of Megillah is getting the story across in the right order, more so than making sure that you put the right pronunciation on a specific word. So as far as, and this comes from the Gemara, but the idea is that you don't have to be hyper precise when it comes to Kriyas and Megillah. Kara omed o yoshev yatsav afilo betzibor. If you read it standing up or sitting down, either way you yotze, even if it's betzibor. Avalo yikre betzibor yoshev lechatchila nekav betzibor. But when you're reading for a congregation, it's best to do it standing up. Karush Shnayim, this is where one of the issues of Trey Coley comes from, where this is not an issue of it. If two people read it together, afilo asara ke'echad, even if 10 people read Megillah together, yatsu akorin vashoma min akorin. So both the people listening and the people reading have fulfilled their obligation. Vekora osa gadol ima katan afilo betzibor. And not only that, a gadol and a katan can actually read Megillah together in front of a tzibor, in front of a minion, and fulfill their obligations. Okay, lach ches. So now we're going to get into structural issues with Megillah. You can't read from a Megillah that's located in a Tanakh. Now again, those days, Tanakhs were on scrolls. So let's say I had a scroll of Ksuvim and the Megillah was in there. It has to be separate from all the other books. Vimkara lo yatsan. If I read it from that situation, I haven't fulfilled my obligation. Elaim ken haisa yesera al shah yirios o chasera kadesh yehela hekar. But the one way it would be yotze in that situation is if it's clear that the Megillah's Esther looks different than the other Sfarim that's written in between. Ava yachid koreba, right? Vafila ina chaser v'lo yaser av yotze ba'de chavasa. But a person, an individual, can read from such a thing. Okay, in other words, that I could do on my own. I just can't do it. It can't be done betzibor. But b'yachid, if I read it from a so to speak a scroll of ksuvim, I would still fulfill my obligation. Now lachates. There's a big issue in the Gemara about what's the shame of a Megillah. Is it an Igeris or is it a Sefer Torah? And it kind of straddles the fence between both. So as you see in Halacha Tes, Inkos as a Megillah, a Bedio, a Lakvil, a Klavka Sefer Torah. So on the one hand, both the ink and the parchment have the same requirements as a Sefer Torah. Then Kosva me Afsa the Kalkuntus Kashera. We've seen this before. These are types of inks that wouldn't be able to be used for a Sefer Torah. Kosva Vishram Mine Tzivonim Psula. But if I wrote it with other colored inks, it wouldn't be good. Utzricha sirtut kataratzma. It requires those straight lines, okay? The rules on the straight horizontal lines on the parchment are required. Veina or shalat sarach avda lishma. But I don't have to do ibud lishma. If you recall, by Sefer Torah, I have to actually process the leather to be done for the purpose of Sefer Torah. You don't need that by Megillah. So again, you notice the back and forth. So, of course, if it's written on paper, et cetera, et cetera, all these situations, it would be puzzle. Halacha Yud. Now, insofar as the ksav is concerned, hayuba osios mitushtashos or mikuros, let's say there are letters that are torn or rubbed out a little bit. Imri Shuma Nicker, as long as I could see the outline, Afilo Haya Ruba Kshera, even if most of it's there, that's good enough to be to fill my obligation. But if I can't see the outline of the letter, if most of it is there, it's kasher, then lab psula. If not, it's pasul. Hishvipa sofer osio subsuka mekarana kore alpe yatsa. Let's say, now this is important, let's say you come across a Megillah and there's a letter missing in the middle of a word, as an example. You would still be able to read from that Megillah. Again, you won't be able, you shouldn't do that by Sefer Torah, but by Megillah, you'd still be able to continue reading and to fill that letter in alpe. Halachi and Aleph, HaMegillah Tzricha Tfira, Ad Shiyu Kol Orosiya Megillah Achas. So just like a Sefer Torah, a Megillah requires that the various pieces of parchment must be sewn together. Vana Nisferes Ela Begidin Kasefer Torah. So you require the Gidin, the same sinews you would use in a Sefer Torah, are used by Megillah as well. Vim Tafra Shelo Begidin Sula. So if I didn't use that material, it'd be possible. Now, Vana Tzarech Litfor Es Kol Yuriya Begidin Kasefer Torah. But I don't have to go on the entire vertical length of the yurios, of the sections of parchment. I don't have to follow the exact same completeness that I would by Sefer Torah. Ela filo tafar begidin shlosh tfiros bekatsa yuria shlosh beemtsa v'shlosh bekatsa asheni ksher meishen nikras igeres. As long as I have three threads at the top, three in the middle, and three in the bottom, I have fulfilled my, I'm good because it's considered enough for an Igeris. So again, that's the tension between a Megillah and a Sefer Torah. Halach Yud Beis. Now, Vitzarech HaKorah Likro Aseres B'nei Haman V'Aseres B'Nishima Achas. So the person reading has to start from Aseres B'nei Haman until the word V'Aseres afterwards in one breath. Kedei Lo'odia L'chol Am Shekulam Nisto V'Nehergu Ke'achad. Because everyone needs to know that the 10 sons of Haman were hung and killed together at once. Umina kol Yisrael, shekores haMegillah kore uposhe ki'igeres, ugeshi yigmar chozev korcha kulam avarech. Now, this is actually not done by most people today. They do something a little bit different. The minhag today is that people unroll the entire Megillah before they start laning, right, and then roll it up in the end. If you look carefully at the Rambam says it's not the case. What do you do? You're poshate, you unroll it as you read it. So you start off with closed, and you just keep unrolling it until you get to the end. And then at the end, you wrap it up, and then you make the bracha. That's another thing that's very important. People make that mistake sometimes, I've seen. You roll the Megillah up first, and then you make the bracha afterwards. You don't go ahead and make the bracha and then roll it up. And that's why you're not supposed to talk until after it's rolled up and the final bracha is made. Okay. That ends off the halachas about the Megillah itself. Now we get into the holiday of Purim. So halacha Yud Gimel. Shnei yomim ha'elu shein arba asar v'chamisha asar. So these 2 days, which are the 14th and 15th of Adar, asurin behesped v'tainis l'chol adam l'chol makam. So you're not allowed to give a hesped or fast on those days. Bein livnei krochen shein osin chamisha asar b'vad. Bein livnei araros shein osin arba asar b'vad. So both days have the status of days of simcha. Even though you're only celebrating Purim on one of those 2 days, they both have the status of being Yimei Simcha. Not only that, they're days of Simcha both in Adar Rishon and in Adar Sheni if it's a leap year. Now let's say the people lived in the village, they went ahead and read early by the Yom Knisa. So on the day that they hear the reading, let's say it was the 12th of Adar, it would be allowed to, for instance, fast in that day. So the days that you celebrate with, as you'll soon see, the mitzvahs of the yom, like Matanos Yevyonim and the Suda, etc., those days you could never fast or have a hesped on. But just because you read the Megillah earlier, that day doesn't be defined then as a day of Simcha. Yeah, Lacha Yudalad. Mitzvahs yom arba asar levnei kfarim vayaros v'yom chamisha asar levnei krachim lios yom simcha u'mishta u'mishloach manos l'reim. So we're all familiar with this. The obligation is in the 14th in the unwalled cities and the 15th in the walled cities, they should be days of happiness, of party, of Mishloach Manos. We'll get to what that is soon. And Matanos Levyonim. Umutar Bastias Malacha. And you're allowed to do Malacha on Purim. V'afapi chayin ain roi lasos Malacha. So even though you're allowed to work, you really shouldn't. Amru Chachamim kola ose Malacha biyom Purim. So the Chacham said, anyone who does Malacha on Purim we'll never see the blessing come from that work. B'nai Kfarim shekidmu v'kar b'sheni v'chamishi. So let's say you lived in a village and you came in on Yom HaKanisa and you read Megillah, let's say, 2 days before Purim. Im chilku ma'os lev yonim b'yom k'rasan yatsu. If I set aside ma'os for the poor people on that day of the Yom, the day I read, which is Yom HaKanisa, then I would still fulfill my obligation. Aval simcha v'mishta. But when it comes to the happiness and the party, ein osin osa'el b'yom arba'asar. That can only take place on the 14th. V'mikdima lo yatsu. So just because I read on the 12th Adar doesn't mean I can celebrate the 12th Adar. Usudas purim she'asal b'layla lo yatsu dechavasa. That's always an important thing to remind people today. There's no idea of a Suda's Purim at night. So if you went ahead and had what you're going to see what the Suda is in a second, if you had that at night, you would not fulfill your obligation of Suda's Purim. Halacha tesva. Ketza chova Suda zu. So what is the obligation of this meal? She yochol basar. So you have to have meat. Be talking Suda na'a, and you should have a nice meal. Okay. Kvisha temsiyado, as much as you can afford. And you drink enough wine until you become intoxicated, and then you fall asleep in a state of drunkenness. Now, this is we can try as much as we want to twist or reinvent the words of the Rambam, but you can't avoid what the Rambam says. The Rambam holds that you're chayev to get drunk on Purim until you fall asleep from that state of drunkenness. You can't. There's no other way to twist the words. That's what he holds. That may offend our 21st century sensibilities, and I understand why, but this is what he does paskin like. Now, what about mishloach manos? So he says you're obligated to send two manos. Now, it's interesting how the Rambam learns this out from the Gemara, but he says you have to send two manos shel basar. Okay, so two portions of meat, o shnei mine tavshil, or two portions of cooked food, or just two foods. There's a whole question of, is the Rambam going in an order here or just giving examples? Meaning, is basar the best? That's not for this, not for now, but it's a good question what he means here. Two manos, one person. So the more you give, the better. But let's say you can't afford it. You're not able to buy food for your fellow Jew. So what would you do? You can exchange meals with your friend. It's important to emphasize also that the Rambam does use the word chaver here. And my understanding of the Rambam is that Mishloach Monos is really for people you're friendly with. It's not just Stam sending strangers. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I don't think it was set up just to send strangers food. That's Matanos of Yonim. That's Halacha Tes Zayin. So you're chayev to set aside money for the poor on Purim. Ein pachos mishnei aniyim. No sinukol echa matan achas. Omos mine tavshom mine ochlin shenemar. Umatanos avyonim shtei matanos shtei aniyim. So as we know, the halacha is that you have to give two gifts to two matanos avyonim, two gifts to two poor people. And it doesn't have to actually just be money. It could be, what do you call it, money, cooked dishes, whatever it might be. But that's the obligation. And it must take place on Purim itself. That's very unique, all right? That's the whole question, whether matanos avinim is actually the halacha of tzedakah or not. But you're not careful when it comes to distributing funds on Purim, meaning you don't count the money you give out. You just kind of like, or check into who you're giving it to. Ela kol poshet yad alitol, nosin lo. Anyone who sticks their hand out, even non-Jews, by the way, anyone who sticks their hand out to collect money, you give them money. And how unique is the money for Matanos Avyonim? That once it's set aside to be distributed as Matanos Avyonim, I cannot redesignate it for a different charity later on. That's very unique to Matanos Avyonim. Halach Yad Zayim. Mutav La'adam. It's the best thing for a person. Laharbros Matanos Avyonim. Milaharbros B'Sudasso. Vishloach Monos L'Reyav. So addressing that question as asked before, to me, that's the most important point that the Rambam makes, which is not about getting drunk, but rather the greatest joy, okay, that a person would have on Purim, or what's the best thing a person should be involved in, is Matanos Avyonim, much more so than your meal or even sending gifts to your friends. It's the Matanos Avyonim. Shein Sham Simcha Gedola Mufara El Sameach Levaniyam Yitom Vamanos Vigarim. So you should address this question to those who primarily spend their time just drinking. There's no greater happiness, no greater joy than helping out or making the aniyim and the solomonos happy and the gerim. That's the greatest simcha. Shemesameach lev hamalolim ha'elu domo l'shchina. because making those people who are in this unfortunate status happy, it's like your Kaddish Baruch. It's similar to the divine presence. Shenemar lachios ruach shvalim lachios lev nitkaim. So you're like, in a sense, you're taking the people on a very low, you know, feeling very low about themselves, and you're making them feel alive. That is the greatest Simcha Purim. So to counter the point that was made before, forget the drunkenness. Really, the greatest Simcha you could have on Purim is Matanos Avyonim. And finally, Lach Yudches, also very famous halacha, Kol Sifrei HaNeviim V'Cholak Suvim Asidim Livatalim Mosa Mashiach. Okay, so all the writings in Nach, all of them, will cease to exist in the times of the Mashiach, Chutz Megillas Esther, except for Megillas Esther. Harehi Kayemes Kechamisha Chumshei Torah U'Kehilchol Shol Torah Shebaal Peh She'eina Matan Olam. Amazingly so, the Megillas Esther acquired the status, the same status as the Torah Shebechtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And even though all the memories we have of bad times will become mivatel in Yemos Mashiach, Shenemar ki nishchu atzaros harishonos v'chi nistru me'inai, Yimei HaPurim lo yivatlu, but days of Purim will never be nullified. Shenemar v'yimei HaPurim eilo lo yavru mitoch hayodim v'zichram lo yasuf mizaram. So Purim will never, be lost to us, even in Yemos Mashiach. We will always be celebrating Purim.